clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself and Jay will look back on the pulsating 3-3 draw against Rangers. We'll discuss Peter Hartley's comments in the build-up to that game. We'll look ahead to Dundee away next Saturday. Motherwell ladies triumphing in the league. And also a change up in the Motherwell media system where those abroad can now follow games live as they happen. Jay, welcome along. Well, I have to start with yourself because there's no one else here, but the game today pretty much had everything, didn't it? A 3-3 draw against Rangers, Peter Hartley securing a point right at the death. It was a game for the neutral, it was a game for the fans in attendance. It really was a pulsating game that people will talk about for many years to come.
Well, yeah, that's it. I think I heard on the radio after the game, and even on Twitter, the likes of Stevie Cragan, Michael Stewart, obviously kind of heralding it as a fantastic entertainment, a fantastic entertaining game at a time when we're really kind of trying to sell Scottish football. I think it was just a great advert, two teams really going for it, or going for the result. There wasn't really any, the only team who actually sat in for any long period of time were Rangers when they were clinging on to the lead with, 20 to 30 minutes left. So, I just thought it was a really exciting game. Even at 3-2, knowing that we were doing the podcast tonight, I kind of said to my dad, who was at the game with, that I think it would still be a positive podcast for a Motherwell point of view, even if we went on to lose the game, because I thought for a Motherwell point of view, there were a lot of positives there. So to actually nick the equaliser, which we, more than deserved, personally, I think we should, we deserved to win the game. But overall, it was just a great game and, a kind of a 90 minutes full of positives from a Motherwell perspective.
A huge testimony to the character of the team. They've obviously suffered a disappointing start to the season with two defeats, particularly I think the defeat at home to Hamilton really got the mood down. There was a lot of negativity. To bounce back on a difficult surface at Livingston last week and progress to the last eight of the Betfred Cup and then follow up with a 3-3 draw against a side that were flying, they were full of confidence. They've got a great deal of quality now as well, given Steven Gerrard's had money to spend. It's a fantastic result and it should be the springboard to kind of kickstart our season now.
Well, that's it. I think we basically saw everything that made the great spells or the great moments of last season, I think we saw today. We look back in last season and we talk about, December and certain games or periods where we were just capable of being absolutely dross. But on the flip side, when we were good, when we were grinding out results, when we were showing that passion, that determination to kind of go right to the death, I think that's exactly what we saw today. As I said, I thought there was positives throughout the team, both in terms of the way we played, the way we lined up, the actual football we played at times. And of course that attitude and that mentality to keep going, because the game could have got away from us. When you go ahead twice and find yourself behind by half time, second half was quite slow to start. I don't think either side really did a great deal in the first 10-15 minutes of the second half. Craig Thompson was an absolute riot. There weren't any massive game changing decisions, but it was very clear that anything that was borderline, anything that just the run of the mill decisions, free kicks, yellow cards, that kind of thing, that it was going to be one rule for them and one rule for ourselves. So it would have been very easy to kind of let the heads go down or lose the discipline, particularly when Rangers just camped in. We dominated that last half hour, and it just kind of seemed as though it was going to be another glorious failure type situation where we would have all these missed chances and it was just never going to go our way. But we never lost the head, we never, chucked it, we never got too down about things. We just kept plugging away, doing what was already working for us, in particular Biggie's, deliveries. And that's what basically clinched it for us in the end. So it was just great to see that attitude, because it has been a disappointing opening to the league campaign. And I think that a lot of people had obviously started to get a wee bit concerned about just where this season was going to go. But I think, you know, everybody involved at Motherwell today can be proud of the way things went, both on and off the park, because Robinson's picked a team there that I think was perfect for the day. Midfield was really well balanced. Johnson and Main, I thought, worked well together up top. The back three were solid. So I just think everything, you know, obviously you don't want to get too carried away. It's a point against a team that we really should have beaten. But I think overall, you just have to be, you know, positive now moving forward, having been quite negative after the opening two games.
And we spoke about the mentality in the build-up to the game. Peter Hartley really stirred the pot with his comments in his pre-match press conference. For me, not really actions befitting of a captain. I think there was an element that was very much tongue-in-cheek, and it certainly triggered a reaction. I don't think it's PR that the club particularly wanted, and the club were quick to act. Peter Hartley releasing a statement hours after making these comments. By that point, for some it was too late. I think you're saying something in the heat of the moment. You've got a lot of eyes on you at that given point in time. He's put his hands up, said, listen, I'm stupid. It was wrong. There was a lot of hostility, animosity towards him. There was a lot of people questioning who he even was. He certainly did his talking on the park today, and I think it would have been easy for Peter Hartley to let that pressure get to him. It must have been a difficult couple of days, because he's not a player that's been in the public eye at many points over the course of his career. So you will feel the pressure, and when you've got 6,000 Rangers fans inside Fir Park almost baying for your blood, that could have made weaker players or lesser players crumble. Instead, Peter Hartley comes up with an excellent performance and then puts icing in the cake by scoring that equaliser.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the comments themselves, I think misguided is probably the best word for it. I agree with you. I think it was, you know, tongue-in-cheek. I don't even necessarily think that it was about, you know, I think maybe reading too much into it, but the idea of Cardoso weeping after breaking his nose, I took it more of it being a more general kind of joke about just the weeping that Rangers as a club did. That whole kind of nonsense that came in the back of that, and the way Bowman was kind of hounded, I kind of looked more into it than that. But that said, it was misguided. It probably didn't come out the way it was meant to. And you know, you don't condone those kind of comments, as you know Peter Hartley has said, as Stephen Robinson and most people at the club have said. But what was fun to watch was that the sort of the payback from Hartley for the sort of the backlash he received, because you know the irony, particularly in social media, of you know Rangers fans going absolutely rage because Hartley is apparently revelling in a broken nose for a player by demanding that this folk go out and end his career by breaking his legs. You know, it's just hilarious. So the very fact that Peter Hartley pops up with equaliser and injury time was just one of those moments that makes football so great, because it's, you know, almost written in the stars. But you're right, I think Hartley was solid throughout. I thought Aldred again was solid throughout. McHugh for me was different class at the back. I think he's been absolutely fantastic so far this season in the back three. Seems to really slot in there brilliantly well. Campbell and Rose I thought were excellent in the middle, but Biggie for me was just head and shoulders above pretty much anybody else on the park, regardless of what colours they were wearing. And Johnson up front, I thought, fully deserved his goal, fully deserved his start, fully running. It was a nippy striker, gave the Rangers defence a hassle for the, you know, the 70-75 minutes he was on the park. So yeah, Hartley gets the headlines, absolutely. But for me, it was just a great team performance. Even the guys who came off the bench, you know, Freer, I thought, came on with a specific job and did it brilliantly. If he hadn't been on the park in those last 15-20 minutes, I don't think we would have dominated them in the way we did. Bowman was you know, obviously putting his presence about when he came on. So I just thought, to a man, every single Motherwell player on the park, you know, was fantastic. And it's just great to be able to say that, because you know, over the last couple of weeks, things, heads have been down. There have been concerns, you know, questions over the lineup, questions over the way we're approaching games, questions on where this season's going to eventually go. But to now find ourselves, you know, a couple of weeks later, a draw that should have been a win, but on the flip side actually does feel like a win because it was an injury time equaliser, and of course, you know, putting Livingston out of the cup last week. So, you know, you could argue that things are up, you know, on an upward turn.
I don't want to dwell too much on the Peter Hartley situation in the comments, but I think it would be unfair not to acknowledge the part played by Stephen Robinson and Stephen Gerrard actually in defusing the situation somewhat. Robinson phoning Rangers on the Friday, he explained this situation in the radio prior to today's game. He thought it was disgraceful. He contacted Rangers. He apologised on behalf of the club. Stephen Gerrard then went in front of the media on Friday and explained that Peter Hartley was stupid. He was daft, as we've all acknowledged here. But as far as he was concerned, the apology was accepted and they move on from the situation. At a time where hostilities are building, I thought it was a class move from both managers to come out and express their a degree of sympathy, I suppose. I think Gerrard was more sympathetic than Stephen Robinson was in regards to his comments, but they both played the situation down and took the flames off the fire.
Yeah, that's it. When Gerrard first came up to Scotland after that opening game when Morelos was sent off, and you know, Gerrard was immediately in the press talking about how referees are against Rangers and how it's always been, you know, and I did, you know, the eyebrows were raised and I did think, oh, here we go. Is that what his entire kind of take on things is going to be? Is it going to be that kind of, you know, just hitting out with that kind of nonsense? But no, I do agree. I think it was, you know, both managers, but Gerrard in particular, I think was a class act over it. It would have been so easy for Gerrard, particularly now that he's in that goldfish bowl where if there's any club in practically the world that is obsessed with us versus them, it's Rangers. So it would have been so easy for him to kind of pander to the crowd, keep the Rangers fans on side by, you know, slating Hartley, demanding he's banned, you know, refusing to accept the apology. But instead, you know, it was, you know, the bigger man showed a good bit of class, basically just, you know, said what needed to be said, that the apology's been made and we move on. And, you know, even in his post-match comments today, which I caught, you know, again, I thought he was quite magnanimous, made even a wee joke, you know, when he was asked about the defender slipping and kind of said, well, you know, I've been there myself, which I thought was quite funny from him. So I think he's, you know, he surprised me slightly because when he first, you know, hit out with those comments about referees being against Rangers, particularly in an incident where Morelos, you know, was rightfully sent off and how the SFA overturned that is MD's guess. But when he first hit out with those comments, I thought he was going to be, you know, a bit of a laughing figure and a bit of, you know, playing to the gallery at Ibrox. But instead, you know, I thought he was you know, a class act regarding it.
As a listener to the MSC podcast, we're offering our listeners a free case of craft beer, courtesy of beer52.com. All you need to do is go to beer52.com, that's beer and the numbers 5 and 2.com /MFC to claim your free case. Beer 52 is the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club, and they've got a wide range of beers on offer. Currently it's the Summer Bangers range, which I received a delivery of during the week, and even as someone that perhaps isn't the biggest fan of craft beer, I've very much enjoyed sampling their work. And for all you need to do is pay $2.95 delivery fee. They'll arrive the very next day. You'll also receive a Ferment magazine and a snack as well, which I very much enjoyed. A pack of spicy chicken wing crisps, which, Jay, you really need to check out. If you're not going to check out the beer, definitely check out these spicy crisps.
I'm just interested to know what Nick's reaction was when a box turned up called Summer Bangers.
She was delighted, absolutely delighted. But with Beer 52, there's no monthly commitment. You just take the free case, try the beers, and see what you think. If it's not for you, you can pause or cancel your subscription at any time. And Beer 52 is a 5-star rating in Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love the service. So what you need to do is visit beer52.com/MFC and you can claim your free case today. And remember, supporting Beer 52 also supports the MFC podcast, keeps our service free, and also provides us with extra equipment to make that sound a little bit better. We have noticed, we've had a few messages about the sound quality in the last couple of weeks. It is something that we're trying to address. And by supporting our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast and helps us afford all that expensive equipment that the best podcasts make their sound absolutely spot on. So thank you if you have, and if you haven't, please beer52.com/MFC. Next up for Motherwell is a trip to Dens Park against Dundee. Dundee having lost all three of their games this season. We could have very easily been in the same boat had it not been for Peter Hartley's 94th minute equaliser today. Neil McCann, a manager under pressure, losing to his arch nemesis yesterday, Tommy Wright. I think he's not a big fan of the goalie coach either, Xander Clark, is he? But Dundee, a poor end to last season as well, starting with three defeats in the league. Yeah, it's a shaky peg type situation for Neil McCann, and we know how difficult it is to go to Dens Park, but that being said, three meetings there last season, we won all three. I think the two league games were pretty hellish, to be honest. They were poor viewing spectacles, but positive results. It's hard to see a different game come Saturday.
Well, I mean, I think we can, you know, go buoyed by today's game, though. I mean, it just shows you how quickly football can change. I think last week, or perhaps the week after, or the week before, sorry, when we were just obviously lost to Accies, we were kind of looking at, you know, the next few games. Rangers, I think we've got Aberdeen and possibly Hearts as well, and, you know, this Dundee game, albeit against, you know, a side that we would perhaps hope to beat, but away from home, I think we were feeling a wee bit, you know, concerned about it, just because things didn't seem to be going our way. And yet, after today's performance, overall, I think we can go into that game absolutely confident. You know, one of the guys near us today made the comment that if we'd played the team that we played today against Accies, then the likes of Johnson would have had a field day and we probably would have beaten them. So I think if you keep that mentality going into the game at Dens, there's no need to make any drastic changes. There's no need to make any changes, in my opinion, assuming everybody's fit and raring to go. And I think if we play the same way, you know, look to get the ball a little bit more on the ground for a change. You know, it was good that, yes, the long ball still made its appearance, but by and large, Biggie was involved a lot more. Campbell getting in about playing the ball at his feet. We were using Johnson's pace, looking to get the balls out wide. And I think it was a lot more, I don't want to say creative, because it wasn't necessarily a creative performance, but a lot more attacking, a lot more thoughtful. You know, not just playing that automatic long ball or diagonal ball. There was a lot more of looking to see who was open. And it worked, you know, against the side that were apparently told, you know, are flying, you know, under Stevie Gerrard. There was a lot of hype. It's really the first time I'd seen Rangers this season today, and I thought they were mediocre at best. As I said, for the last half hour, we were the only team in it. And so if we, you know, take that momentum, take that confidence, and overall take that you know, style of play, that form, into a game at Dens Park against, you know, a Neil McCann side, then I'd be fully confident of taking all 3 points. You know, I'm not a big Neil McCann fan as a manager. I thought he was an all right pundit, but I just think, you know, his entire management style seems to be being a relatively shit manager, but then blaming it on everybody else. So I don't see any reason to kind of be getting into that game on Saturday not looking to take all 3 points. And you don't want to start talking about relegation battles or talking about, you know, 6-pointers, but having had the start that we've had and knowing that we've got the likes of Aberdeen, etc., coming up soon, then it's a game that we really should be looking to win, because if you can get, you know, 4 points ahead of Dundee already, albeit very early, then you start to, you know, make that wee gap, you start to get a bit of breathing space, and you can start to look up the table rather than, you know, what's behind you.
That was really a cue for Buster there. We really missed his presence when it comes to discussing Neil McCann, don't we? I know it's early doors, and you look at the league table and you go, oh, we're in the playoff position just now, Dundee rock bottom, but there has only been 3 games. That's quite important to emphasise. Dundee losing narrowly yesterday, they lost narrowly at St Mirren in the opening day as well. Neil McCann, that being said, I think with the poor start, the poor finish to last season, coupled with the poor start to this season, does make him a man under pressure. You see how short a lifespan some managers have. Kenny Miller, what was it, 7 weeks or something like that, but that is the time managers are getting these days. They're judged in a very short spell of time. would you think that a defeat for McCann could signal the end of his time at Dundee?
I'm not sure if it's... Obviously, I don't know what the thinking is at Dens. I don't know, you know, whether a defeat on Saturday would. But certainly, I think, you know, it's going to be in the back of their minds because, you know, you'd be possibly looking at Dundee going to be, you know, maybe battling with the likes of St Mirren, Accies and Livingston, perhaps, you know, in a relegation battle. And so with that in mind, then a first win is going to be vital. And it's you know, Dundee are the only side who haven't managed to do that, obviously ourselves included, but I would, you know, fully expect us to do it on Saturday anyway. So if after four games, you know, the teams around you, the teams you expect to be up against, even if they are still only, you know, 3 points ahead, 3 or 4 points ahead, if they're already off the mark, if they're already got a win under their belt and you're still really struggling for it, then I think questions are going to be asked. And again, I don't think Neil McCann does himself any great favours. You know, he's not particularly magnanimous. He doesn't, you know, do a great deal in post-match interviews other than moan, you know, about something. And I think fans and you know, the boards of football clubs can see through that. And I think they can start to become a little bit impatient if they find that, if they think that you're just making excuses. And I think if there's one manager who is going to come across as always making lots of excuses, it's going to be Neil McCann. So I'm really not sure whether after four games that will be early enough for the, you know, the those behind the scenes at Dens to, you know, pull the trigger. But I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, it is with Livy, you know, albeit against St Mirren, but with Livy winning away yesterday, you know, it does start to become more and more obvious that Dundee are languishing at the bottom on 0 points. And of course, as I said, if we win on Saturday, then that will become even more obvious. So, you know, if it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, put it that way. If he gets sacked, then I certainly wouldn't lose any sleep.
It's quite incredible, the fickle nature of football as well, isn't it? Because you look at St Mirren, they got off to a good start and they were riding the wave of positivity following their success last season. They beat Dundee in the opening day. Then 3 weeks later, you lose at home to Livingston and suddenly it's all doom and gloom, kind of almost out of nowhere. I suppose they did suffer a bad defeat in the League Cup as well. Suddenly you're losing at home to Livingston and they're beginning to look over their shoulders even at this very early stage. I think you made a good point when you talked about Livingston and they're now on 4 points. A 4 point gap over Dundee means that Dundee can't go into that international break ahead of Livingston. It's something that isn't a massive deal. You look at Kilmarnock last season, I think they picked up 3 points from their first 8 games and then went on to have a fantastic campaign. But the negativity can creep in. People can get very downbeat. That transfer window then passes and you've not got time to get new faces in, guys that will improve your squad. And you can be in for a right long season. So Dundee will look to Saturday as a massive game. I think it's a massive game for us as well. We've certainly improved. We were much improved against Livingston. I thought we were excellent today and, as you've already alluded to, possibly deserved the 3 points. What we need to remember, I suppose, is we did only at that 1 point. You did say that it felt like a win, but the reality is different. It was only a point and you've got to continue to kick on in the league because we don't want to go in to the international break in bottom spot. But if we were to lose on Saturday, that's exactly where we'll be.
Oh yeah, that's it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not getting carried away with today's game. When I said earlier, you know, about Livy, St Mirren, Accies and Dundee possibly being who you would expect down there, we're sitting at 1 point. You know, we can't sit here and say that, you know, in a month, 2 months, or, you know, by January, or even by the split, that we're not going to be in a relegation battle. I think I saw enough today to suggest that we won't be. But you need to keep that going. You need to obviously get bits of luck here and there in terms of injuries and stuff like that. You need players to keep their confidence levels and their form levels high. So absolutely, you know, that's I think Saturday is a big, big game this early on because, you know, for all I'm saying that, you know, Livingston, Accies and St Mirren have already set themselves apart from Dundee by getting that first win on the board. We haven't yet, so we really need to look to do that because the longer, it's all very well, you know, looking at today and saying, oh, it was a great point and a game that we were expected to get hammered in. But as you say, it is just a point and, you know, next week, the week after that, the longer you go, the more obvious it is that it's just a point. So we really need to get, you know, 3 points on the board. But as I said, I'm feeling very confident after today. I thought the performance was great. And I think if we can go in with those confidence levels into Saturday's game, which I've no doubt that we won't, that we will do, because I think it's quite obvious when you hear the players speak, and when you even hear the manager speak, there is that team spirit, there is that determination to carry things on. So I actually fully expect us to win on Saturday, but it will still be a difficult game because, as you say, Dundee are already going to be, you know, in the backs of their minds that this is, you know, creeping away for them a wee bit. Because again, Livingston, you know, getting that win again, albeit against St Mirren, are perhaps a surprise package. They weren't expected to come up. They weren't expected to even be in the promotion battle last season, having been promoted the season before, and yet here they are. Hardly any fans, a shit park. Barely any finances, and yet sitting mid-table, albeit after three games, and Dundee are languishing at the bottom. So it's a game that Neil McCann will be desperate to win. It's a game that Dundee will be desperate to win. But it's certainly a game that if we go and play our game and play as well as we did today, that we should win fairly easily.
And it's something that would perhaps have been laughed right off the podcast a couple of weeks ago when we were recording on the back of the Hamilton defeat. But I think there's merit to the argument that going through a difficult spell like we did at the start of the season can bring the guys closer together as a unit. They've experienced the highs of cup finals last season, pushing for the top six. And yes, there was some difficult spells in amongst it, but I think possibly if during Stephen Robinson's tenure, the aftermath of that Accies game, and I think it was mainly because of the style of football that had been demonstrated in these first two games of the season, it was maybe the roughest ride that Stephen Robinson's had during his time at Motherwell. So the players obviously are getting some criticism in amongst that as well. They've come through that, they've demonstrated in the last couple of weeks that they've got the quality to dig in, they can play a bit of football, they've run a good Rangers side very, very close today. Close enough to get a point, obviously. So, difficult times can sometimes bring the unity together. There could perhaps be stronger for this.
Yeah, and I don't think I completely agree, but I don't think it's necessarily, you know, just about bringing, you know, unity. I think, you know, it's that old cliche about, you know, you learn more about your team, you know, in the face of adversity or when you're losing games. And you know, if we had played the way we had played the opening couple of games, but managed to somehow ground out a result, then we perhaps would have lined up today with, you know, Biggie on the bench, Salmon and Main up front, and got an absolute doing. You know, although as bad as those opening games might have been, as disappointing as they might have been, and as concerning as they were for some people, I think it allowed, you know, Robinson and Lasley to look at the team, see what's not working, and change it, and that's why you had the team that you had today. So, you know, yes, it brings players together because they want to put things right, they want to, you know, stand up and be counted and drag us back into, you know, the kind of the positive side of winning points and things like that. But I think on the flip side, it's also about the management learning about what's working and what's not. When you're winning games, you just continue to do things. But when you're losing games, you're kind of forced to change things. And so without those opening games, I don't think you would have had the lineup, which I think at the moment is now our strongest lineup by quite a distance. Even things like we were talking after the game, things like Biggie's delivery from set pieces, it wasn't just the actual delivery itself, it was the way we had worked on it. You know, like Carroll McHugh's goal was a great example of that, the way, the movement for it, even Peter Hartley's goal, and a few other examples of it, corners, etc., where Biggie knows exactly where to put the ball, the Motherwell players know exactly where to be, and that's something we wouldn't have worked on a couple of weeks ago, partly because Biggie wasn't even expected to be there. So the fact now that we've sort of learned in those opening games that Biggie's going to be staying, and that he's now actually forced his way into that first team, and he's possibly going to be one of the first, you know, names in the team sheet at the moment for me, then it means that behind the scenes you could be working on things like Biggie's delivery, you could be working on set pieces a bit more, and it all kind of ties together. So absolutely, you know, yes, it was worrying, it was great, you know, it was, you know, great fun, you know, on the podcast after the Accies game, being all despondent and wondering, you know, what was the future going to hold, and talking about, you know, people already wanting Robinson out and things like that. But again, you know, the best managers around don't go you know, with 100% records. They do go through poor phases, and it's during those poor phases that it's then up to them to change it and to make things right. And today was a sign that perhaps we're going to do that. Obviously, again, don't want to get too carried away. Still a long season to go. But for me, Robinson has responded to the criticism. He's responded to what he's seen in the park, and he's put out a team today that has almost corrected a lot of those failures that we kind of saw in the opening games, and we were far better for it.
Yeah, I think he's possibly learned a lot about himself and how to deal with adversity as well during this, because people forget that Stephen Robinson's quite a young manager. He's still learning his trade, he's still cutting his teeth, and he will make mistakes. You look at a prime example of how our goal came about today. Rangers made a sub while defending a corner. It's tough. From a very early age, you were always made aware of the fact you do not make a substitution when you're defending a corner. Aye. They did that, and they conceded, they switched off, and as a result, Motherwell got the equaliser. So the managers will make mistakes, and I think it is all about how you react to them. And Stephen Robinson, he's got good people beside him, guys like Keith Lasley, Stephen Craig, and even the staff, the higher-ups at Motherwell will be there for advice and be able to give him a bit of guidance through these tricky spells, and they will happen at Motherwell. Of course they will. There's a situation now in Scottish football where Rangers look to be stronger, Aberdeen have been very strong for 4 or 5 years, Hibs and Hearts are now operating almost at full flow again, which means that the possibility of finishing higher up the table is made that bit more difficult. Celtic have obviously dominated as well. I know I almost bypassed them there, but so the rest of us are fighting out and feeding over the scraps. He's done a fantastic job in his first full season. I don't see any reason why he won't continue to do so. Sorry, but I think there has to be a wee bit of reality in the fact that we will go through difficult spells. It's our job as supporters almost to keep expectations in check, and also to avoid reacting to defeats as if it's the end of the world. There's no crisis. After two games, there was no crisis either. I know we were a bit negative, and rightfully so. I don't think you can go through these difficult times and not get a bit disheartened and question what's going on. I think that's perfectly acceptable. But I think we've got to remember who we are. I hate the phrase punching above our weight, but quite often it's hard to describe our successes as anything but punching above our weight. So today's a good day, last week was a good day, and hopefully we can push on from here. But I think it's unfair sometimes that the manager can be singled out for criticism when I find it hard to argue for anything other than he's done a fantastic job in his time here. And a big part of keeping us up as well, along with obviously Louis Moult's goals after the debacle that was the last 6 months of Mark McGee. The club have again shown themselves to be very forward thinking in the media side this week with the launch of their live streaming service. We're going to have 26 of our remaining 31 games streamed live to fans overseas, today's game being the first one. And having spoke to Grant Russell tonight, by all accounts there was a server failure shortly before the launch of this. Real worry, all hands in deck to try and get this restored and up and running in time for the game starting. They managed to do just that, and the feedback has been very positive to the first game, the debut of Motherwell TV live to a worldwide audience. Jay, this is something that would almost be, it would have been unthinkable 10 years ago. I know technology's come on. We've got a media team now that awards speak for themselves, that they're second to none. Another very positive step, and I know it's a niche audience, isn't it? But to keep these fans connected overseas is a massive thing, and it may result in Well Society subscriptions, it may result in donations to the football club. It's also keeping these people in the loop, because it's so easy to fall away from football, particularly when you're overseas and you don't have access to the footage that these guys will now have.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, Obviously, everybody's different in terms of what they, you know, look for as a football fan, what they take from being a supporter. But for me, you're not being able to see the games, you know, would be a real struggle. So, you know, to be, you know, living abroad and having to make do with, you know, the Motherwell highlights, which, yes, highlights are great. They could tell you the story of the game, and there's possibly some games that you wouldn't want to sit through the whole 90 minutes. But I think just that, the ability to sit and watch, you know, the games as they're happening, I think will be absolutely fantastic. Even, you know, a standalone subscription service is going to be, you know, generating extra revenue for the club anyway. But I think you're right. You know, I think if you are actually involved in the games live as they're happening, your connection to the club, your, you know, that kind of, yeah, just your connection to the club is going to be a lot stronger, and therefore you may be more likely to, you know, join the Well Society, up your subscription. You might be more likely to, you know, buy merchandise, just because being able to watch the team you're supporting live on the day is such a big thing. Because let's be honest, the vast majority of us are Motherwell fans because at some point we go to the games. Now, some people perhaps can't afford to go to games during a certain period of their time, certain period of their life. Other people might have, you know, other commitments, work, family, etc. Others live abroad. But if we were really just in it because we wanted to wear a Motherwell top and kick about outside, you wouldn't be a Motherwell fan. You'd be Old Firm or Barcelona or Man United. At some point in most of our lives, we are Motherwell fans because we have, you know, fallen in love with the club over 90 minutes, or going to games over a certain period of time. So I think it's a massive, massive thing. And when you tie that in with all the other improvements, like the, you know, obviously the scoreboard, which had a few blips today, although my favourite was at full time when it announced that we'd won 4-3. But, you know,
we'll take that.
The scoreboard, you know, obviously the season tickets, which I think actually deserve a good bit of praise, because, you know, even that Aki's game, and again today, joined the queue before the game. The queue was huge, but then proceeded to, you know, move at a fantastic rate, and we're in the stadium within, you know, a few minutes. I think all the kind of the upgrades that we're making, which, you know, if someone's listening who's perhaps a Man United fan or whatever, might be sitting, you know, chuckling away thinking, you mad savages, what, you didn't have these kind of technological advances to begin with. But I think when you're actually bringing them all in, it's an exciting time. We're moving forward, and it's good that, you know, because it's that feel-good factor, and you want it both on and off the park. And it would have been more concerning if we were sitting here and we'd just been scudded after Rangers, we'd been knocked out of the cup last week, and you've got all these good things happening off the park. And when that's not mirrored on the park, it can be maybe a wee bit more of a struggle to kind of build that anticipation and build that excitement about things. But I think because we're in a slightly better position on the park, it makes these innovations and initiatives you know, a lot more positive. And also it means that people are going to be more likely to pay their subscription, because if you're abroad and you're hearing that Motherwell are getting horsed every week back home, are you really going to want to watch it? So the very fact that we've played well today, nicked a draw, and could go into Saturday's game looking to win, I'm assuming that's one of the 26 or whatever that, as you mentioned. So hopefully all those who, you know, we do know that there's a good few kind of Motherwell fans abroad who listen to the podcast to keep up to date. So hopefully now they can actually know specifically what we're talking about, and they'll probably know how much shit we talk, because they'll be able to listen to what we're talking about and then compare it to the 90 minutes they've seen and completely disagree. So it's just great to be able to kind of bring all these things out. It's, you know, what we should be doing. We're a top flight club in the 21st century, and it's great to actually be able to, you know, do these kind of things.
Yeah, please don't stop listening to the podcast just because we've got live television. And all serious, like, the conversation with Grant was quite funny. It was a nightmare scenario that they managed to turn around, and I can't really talk about these guys highly enough, because you would think that it was an operation with 20, 30 people, but it's not. It's Grant, Lewis Irons and Ali Riley mucking in together to produce fantastic results. They're at the forefront of a lot of different ideas that have caught on. Obviously, the Pete Six being the pinnacle last season, but they don't claim to have invented the wheel. But what they do is they take an idea and they try and push it as much as they possibly can. And I think there's nothing that they put out that isn't of the highest quality. So that's the biggest compliment I can pay to them. And you quite often see the likes of Pye and Bovril or Scottish Marketing and Sport praising the work they're doing. So that's people that have got the fingers on the pulse of Scottish football and also media in general that are singing the praises of the Motherwell media team. So richly deserved, and well done to them for sticking with it and fighting the adversity that they experienced today. But do not stop listening to the podcast just because we've got live TV. Congratulations to the Motherwell ladies team, who today secured promotion to SWPL 1 after winning SWPL 2 with 5 games to spare. A fantastic season in which they've racked up victory after victory, and had it not been for an early points deduction for bringing on a substitute with 10 minutes to go in their opening fixture, they would be undefeated for the season. I think it's now 16 games, of which 14 are victories and one draw, and then that one defeat for an overturned result. There's a precedent been set there, which they obviously followed with Hearts and Cove Rangers in the Betfred Cup. I think not, but anyway, enough of that bitterness. Congratulations to them. They'll now play in the top flight of Scottish women's football. A huge challenge, and particularly now that manager Eddie Blecky Black has left and he's heading for Celtic. Challenges ahead, but they've assembled a fantastic squad and one that have really produced results. So good to see. I think it maybe would have been worse if we had lost that game 3-2 today, Jay, but you would have maybe focused a wee bit more on the ladies and their success. But good to see another arm of the club succeeding, and now they'll get to test themselves against the very best.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of tied in. You know, you're mentioning there about the media team, but you talk about the club as a whole, and you just have to look at the kind of even the exposure that the Motherwell ladies get, even on the actual official website. You know, you go look at the squad, and there's not any difference in the pages, you know, for the player profiles and things like that. And I think that it's that accessibility that obviously allows other Motherwell fans who perhaps aren't going to the ladies' games to at least keep up to date and know what's going on. So it's obviously great, because it's not just... I think at the start, when you get... when things were a lot more... kind of disjointed, it perhaps maybe felt that it was, you know, the ladies' team were just, you know, just had the Motherwell name to some extent, whereas now it's very obvious and very clear that they are, representing Motherwell. And it's a trophy, it's a title win for a Motherwell side, which will obviously be welcomed. So, it's great. And also, you know, I think perhaps we're slightly different, because the podcast has kind of been involved in sponsoring things with the ladies team for a couple of years and stuff like that. But it does feel as though you can charter that journey from, you know, up the divisions and then getting into the top flight. So it's been a great sort of journey for them. And I think it would just be great to, you know, maybe see if get a wee bit more interest again, you know, because I think the interest in the ladies game as a whole is, you know, as high as it's ever been these days. And I think with the social media, with the website content, I know the website were really quick. The official website was really quick to put up that news story that they'd won the league today. Even although we just, you know, that's
very good, as I must say as well, given that I wrote it myself.
But that, it's just that, you know, we just, the headlines were all Peter Hartley scores against Rangers, and yet there it was, Motherwell ladies have won the league up in the, you know, on the official Twitter with the story up there and stuff like that. And I think it's great, because it would be easy to kind of just, you know, leave that in the shadows, but it's a fantastic achievement. It's something that I think Motherwell fans should be proud of. We'd be proud of if the under 20, you know, if the under 20s, if you don't go to under 20s games, but they win the league, you'd be proud of that as a Motherwell fan, and I don't think this is any different.
Yeah, it was quite a strange feeling, it must be said, because what do you do when Motherwell win something? I wasn't 100% sure. It was I was kind of watching other people to see how they reacted for a wee bit of guidance. But yeah, it was a good moment. It's been good to follow the progress this season. I've had the pleasure of being involved in the setup over the course of the season, and it's just a hard working bunch of girls that have really taken a lot of pride in playing for Motherwell. The coaches, a lot of them on a volunteer basis, put in so many hours to make the club the best it possibly can, and they actually deserve the celebrations tonight. And they've also got a quarter final in the Scottish Cup coming up soon as well, which they've got a decent chance of winning. It's against St Johnstone, a team that are in the same division. Obviously, romped away with the league, so they've got a good chance of a semi-final, and who knows what happens from there. But tonight it's all about the league, and it's all about everybody that's contributed to the team over the course of the season. They've really, really impressed and really deserved their moment in the spotlight, so well done to them again. Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. We're obviously talking amongst ourselves, so not quite as much in terms of variation of opinion, but it's certainly one I've enjoyed.
Aye, aye, it's been good, and it's always good to have a wee chat after a late equaliser. Well, as I said, it should have been a winner. I mean, let's be honest, I was a wee bit disappointed after the match, driving home and listening to James McFadden. You know, I thought he was quite critical of Motherwell. I thought, I did wonder what kind of game he'd been watching, because it certainly
didn't. I actually think that I found James McFadden to be overly critical of Motherwell, almost as if he's not willing to nail his colours to the mast, or he's worried about being accused of being biased, because I've seen him a few times, and with the exception of his stuff about Alan Campbell on Super Scoreboard last season, I think he is fairly negative about it. I don't know whether his experience of being assistant has maybe soured his opinion on it, but from what he said at the podcast 25 post-war players, he was very positive about his time at the club. He seemed quite philosophical almost about the being removed as assistant. It must have been a bit of a difficult one, particularly when his close friend then took his job. That sounds like he kind of came in and removed him from it forcibly, but you know what I mean? He's obviously left, and Keith Lasley's come in, but I think it's maybe a subconscious thing that he's just trying not to be bias almost, and it's kind of coming across completely the opposite way.
I mean, it could be, absolutely, it could be. I just thought, I haven't actually heard a lot of Faddy or any other pundit, to be honest. I don't tend to sit and listen to the phone-ins or a lot of the coverage anyway, but I just thought he was quite harsh. I thought, you know, I thought we were not just worthy of a point, I thought we were the better team over the piece. I thought when you're getting into the last half hour and absolutely dominating Rangers, chance after chance after chance, and their entire kind of game plan is to just launch the ball long and hope that Morelos runs into it and just get Kyle Lafferty diving some more. That seemed to be their whole game plan. So I thought we absolutely, definitely deserved not just a point. I think that in a couple of days, when we look back, as much as it was a great moment and we would have taken a point before the game, I think we should actually be slightly disappointed we didn't beat that Rangers team. So I was quite disappointed with James McFadden in particular, because I did feel as though he was quite harsh on us. I can't even remember what my original point was, because we started talking about Faddy, but yeah, it's just great to be, you know, doing a podcast, I suppose, again after, you know, a good result, a good performance, and actually getting to be a bit more optimistic again, because Saturday, as we said, it's a big game, albeit very early on in the season, and I think it's a big game that if we go into with the same sort of approach, same mentality, and play the same way, that I think we'll win.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, and it's one be at and looking forward to. What we'll do is we'll wrap this up for tonight. We'll be back next Monday, but until then, thank you and goodbye.